You're tuned in to Altered Geek. Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm Steve Phillips, and you're listening to, well, the podcast that keeps evolving. And we're kind of back. So, there's been quite a bit going on, as most of you know from the last episode that was recorded. I was planning on doing some kind of videos or podcasts while I was on the road, which we kind of did that as a family video type thing. But aside from that, those are out on YouTube. Not on my channel, but they're out there. So anybody that's friends of mine on social media can find it. So we are back, and there's been quite a bit going on, completely unpacked at this point. Have my desk set up. As a matter of fact, for those that follow on Twitter would already know this, I've set my computer and set up in a closet in a smaller bedroom in our duplex rental, and surprisingly enough, it works great on a fold-up table, which wasn't the original plan. The original plan was to go out and buy a desk. That's about the only change. But for this particular location where we are renting at the moment, the fold-up desk actually works surprisingly well. Where my chair sits, because I boosted the table up higher than my previous desk when I lived at the house, so my monitors are actually like directly in my face, and my microphone is actually right in front of my mouth, so that's a little bit different. As I stated, a lot's been going on. So there's been very little activity for me on not only social media, but the podcast front. And I'm hoping to change that in the coming weeks. So expect more. Yes. I hope everybody had a safe and fun 4th of July holiday. I know I did with my kids, and some of the healthier and more fun things that have been going on in our lives is I've been riding my bike to work, and not only does it show how out of shape I am, but it also is fun, and I don't have to buy a second car anytime soon. So there is that benefit as well. But really it only takes like, from where I live to where I work, it's 7 minutes driving. It's about, give or take, about 18 minutes to ride my bike. So it's really cool to be able to do that. I throw on a backpack, with my lunch and my change of clothes, because I don't wear my work clothes when I'm riding my bike, because I don't want to get it dirty on the, spokes. So, anyhow, enough of me rambling. One of the fun activities that happened this week while I was working was the internet went out. And, you know, it's really weird when you sit down and then you have the internet completely go kaput on you. And it was something with whatever the internet connection was, and so I was thankfully able to find other things to do while I was there, and there were a number of other technical difficulties as well that happened pertaining to the network. So for instance, I could get in my Gmail and some other areas simply by getting on my phone and accessing it, but I couldn't access it on my computer, which it's a very nice computer, I will say that. It's a MacBook Pro Air or MacBook Air Pro something. Anyways, it doesn't have a CD drive. It's got four USB-C ports on it. And a nice, like, I have a 27-inch monitor here at home. I think that that's like a 32-inch monitor that I have. And then another one that's about 24-inch wide, somewhere in that. So it's a nice setup. The only downside to a Mac in today's standards is not only do you not get a CD drive or DVD drive, but you also don't get the native HDMI or Ethernet ports or some of those things because it's so thin. So that's about the only leg up I can think of getting a PC is you get all those ports and you get all those aspects as opposed to a Mac. But it's actually the first nice computer I've gotten by working somewhere. And it's refreshing to have something that actually works. When I worked at one place, the computer was a Windows 7 machine, but it was at that point about 10 years out of date. And it was totally unusable. And the previous place I worked, the computer was probably about 4 years old, but it was one of those Asus laptops, and it had Windows 10 on it, but it had a limited hard drive. I think it was like 50 or 60 gig SSD built in, and so it really couldn't run anything. It chugged along when you had to do simple tasks of just checking email or using social media. Totally not a good machine. So this one's super. I can run on both screens. I can have a bunch of windows up. I can have a bunch of tabs open. I can have notes open. I can have my email. I can have Slack. So it's super nice. And speaking of computers, I'm currently, funny enough, pricing out a new machine. Whether I get it anytime soon, well, that's debatable. One of my good friends online, Alex, had kind of put together a couple of different options or things to look at. And they were really cool. Some of them, I think one of them was like liquid cooled or something, which I'm not really wanting to go that direction. I really don't care to have a radiator in my computer. My dad does that. But that's not something I'm very enthusiastic about having to put time and effort into. Especially when I just want it to work. And there's really nothing wrong with my machine per se, other than when software gets on it, it starts to get bogged down now because it's a third generation Pentium Core i3 dual core processor. And I know that's Greek to some people. I got 12 gigs of RAM in it, DDR3, NVIDIA GeForce card that's like 2 gigabyte, multiple hard drives, SSD and otherwise. And an older, funny enough, when I was unpacking, I found the book for my motherboard, which it's a gigabyte motherboard. And I always really liked the gigabyte hard motherboards. For a variety of reasons, because they have the ports that I'm specifically looking for. And, well, it's just, there's a lot of options going on with it. And so I've kind of been stuck in my ways. Like this, I've had 2 gigabyte motherboards. My next one, I'm planning, this is the goal, I'm planning anyhow to upgrade to another one of those cards, another motherboard that's gigabyte. My current one has, which is funny, I was looking how old this thing was, and I shoved the receipt inside the booklet. It's a little over 6 years old, so I'm due. And it's got multiple panels. I've got five SATA plugs on it. I've got multiple USB redundancies. I've got a couple of USB 3.0 plugs in the back, as well as USB 2.0, which is really nice. It comes with two USB 2.0 ports. It comes with two USB 3.0 ports, an HDMI port built in, DVI and VGA, and then of course your Ethernet, and two more USB 2.0 ports. And for some reason, I can't fathom why we're still having PS2 keyboard and mouse ports. It can work for either or, but why would you use that in today's modern era when you have USB? I would never switch back to one of those for my keyboard. I would never switch back for my mouse. My mouse is, a matter of fact, a Logitech gaming mouse. It's a Logitech G602, and I really enjoy that mouse because not only does it fit my hand, it's wireless in Bluetooth. It's very comfortable. There's a lot of programmable buttons on it that I'm able to use for a variety of things. It's just kind of a no-brainer. Why would you use that? But they're still putting them on new motherboards, and so I guess that's it's something to do with legacy. I really don't know, but I don't particularly care for it. So kind of looking at my specced out build that I'm kind of planning on doing. For one, I need to get a new power supply because I still have like an old 550 modular power supply. So I'm going to have to get a 750 or something because I know that I'm bogging down with the amount of USB ports that I have plugged in at this point. And then I'm going to get the Core i5 ninth generation Coffee Lake 6-core processor. Does not come with graphics, which is fine because honestly I don't need it, and the price is cheaper if you go without the graphics. And so I'm going to just recycle and reuse my NVIDIA GeForce card, which is a little older, but it should still do the job. And then, of course, I'm going to get a Gigabyte Z390 Pro Wi-Fi motherboard. So it'll have like HDMI hookups. It'll have the capability to go up to 64 gigs of RAM, and it'll have two wireless ports built in, which is going to be pretty slick. For Wi-Fi, so I'll get antennas to do Wi-Fi. Because currently, right now, because of where it's positioned in this office, I've had to go back from doing Ethernet, which I was doing at my house when I was there, to using my D-Link USB wireless transmitter. And it works, but it's also the wireless N standard, and I have a wireless AC router. And this is AC built in. So one big proponent I am for on motherboards, and this is why I chose Gigabyte over the other ones, is because they have multiple USB ports. And that's one of the important factors for me. Now, granted, it's probably overkill for some people, but I have enough peripherals that I like to have plugged in. So it's going to have four USB 2.0 plugs. It's going to have three USB 3.0 plugs. So that's seven. And then two USB 3.1 plugs. So we're at nine. And then a USB 3.1 Type-C plug. So we're at 10 USB ports. As well as the Ethernet, the HDMI, and the line in, line out microphone, subwoofer, the full blown package for speakers. So yeah, it's going to be super cool having all that functionality. Plus, it'll have headers for the front of the case, which unfortunately the plugs that are going to this particular case, because again, it's an older case and I didn't spend much on it. It was probably $40. It's got like USB 2.0 plugs on it, and they're real low. So I'm also kind of considering getting a new one that supports USB 3.0. And I can plug things into the top. And that's kind of one of the big factors that I'm kind of looking at. Like the top of this particular case that I'm looking at has multiple USB ports on it, which is nice. And the push button to turn it on and off and reset is on the top as well. And you can slide a panel over it to cover it, so that'll be good for children's purposes. But it has like two USB 3.0 and two USB 2.0 on the top, as well as a line in for microphone and line out for headphones. And then I'm going to get 32 gigs of RAM from G-Skill. I'm going to get a M.2 NMV or NVM or whatever that standard is, 512 SSD that plugs directly into the motherboard, which will give me insane speeds as far as that is concerned. And yeah, like a 2 terabyte Seagate hard drive to plug in. It's a moving plate one, but then I'll at least have a larger backup. I have a 500 gig hard drive. My cat knocked over my water. A 500 gig hard drive and two 120 gig SSDs in my machine right now, and so it would be a significant boost. So anyways, that would be basically my build. So I don't know how many of you guys like to build your own machines. I personally enjoy it because then I get to build it how I want it. My only key question on that is, do I have to reinstall everything, or could I just pop my hard drive over? And that's kind of what I'm hoping, but I don't know that. So that's something that I'll have to kind of weigh when the time comes. But yeah, I mean, I'm super, super stoked to head in that direction. Now I could go cheaper on the processor and get an i3, which are 4-core now, instead of getting a 6-core i5. But I figure if I'm going to spend it, I might as well get the one that's a little bit more powerful. And yeah, so that's kind of the boat I'm in with getting a computer. But yeah, so I'm sure I just alienated and bored multiple people to death on that front. But yeah, so as far as technology is concerned, in addition to the various problems with the internet going down, Samsung just seems to be popping up like insanity on the web. While I was doing my gathering for this, they had three articles come out simultaneously from like CNET and ZDNet, basically the same type of thing. Samsung just recently got sued or taken to court for allegedly misleading customers on Galaxy S's water resistance in Australia that, you know, claimed Samsung's phones aren't as waterproof as advertised, which, to be honest, you know, they said their certification only applies to fresh water. To be honest, the funny thing is these phones are water resistant, not waterproof. So if you're taking the chance of bringing your phone into the water, it's not really a very wise decision, especially when you're basically spending $1,000 to $1,500 on these phones now. It's not worth gambling with. Yeah, I mean, Samsung's really not budging on it because they're saying that it's, you know, just exposure of normal, you know, clean water, such as like, you know, some of the ocean. They're saying not the ocean because it's got like the salt and everything else, but like you could get it splashed, you could get it rained on, you could get some of those factors, get it wet or drop it in your sink or something, but it will more than likely rebound from that. But if you're taking it in like the ocean or something and had it in your pocket like a water camera, it's not going to be usable. I just don't understand why people would take things like that out into the water. Or I have a water camera specifically for water, and I leave my phone in the car because I won't take that chance. And then speaking of other massive flaws on Samsung's behalf, they fixed or claim that they're fixing the Samsung Galaxy Fold, which if you're not up to spec on that, it's their flip phone, but it's a smartphone, so it's a bendable screen. So they claim in a report that it's been remedied, and that they're gonna have a worldwide launch. The funny thing is these phones are going to cost $2,000. If I'm going to spend $2,000, I'm going to get, I don't know, like two really good PCs or a laptop and a desktop. Like, I'm not spending $2,000 on a cell phone. It just doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, Samsung's... Their stretchy protective film to wrap around the entire screen and, you know, flow into the outer bezels. They've redeveloped it, so they say. And they're saying that they've re-engineered the hinge so that it's flush with the display and serves to open, stretch the, you know, the protective layer when the phone opens. But they want to be the first to launch a foldable phone, you know, out there, at least for the flagship. There was another foreign company that came out with a flip phone that was a smartphone not that long ago, and it wasn't perfect, but it wasn't great either. But they still beat Samsung to it. It's almost like when iHeartRadio starts saying, like, oh, we're first, and they aren't on anything. But anyways, they're trying to beat Huawei. I have no idea how to pronounce it. But anyways, they've delayed their Mate X foldable launch. Probably for the same reasons. I guess if you're wanting... Like, I did for some time want the Motorola Razr flip phone. But the downside is you have to worry about if you're going to break your screen. And that's not... With phones being in the state that they are today, it's not a risk that you really need. Plus, these are going to be very much gimmick phones. I don't see this trend lasting very long. So, yeah, it's a strange duck for sure. So, anyway, I think I'm going to call this episode good and come back next week. So, let me know if there's something you guys want to discuss, talk about, or have me cover on the podcast next week, whether it's something of tech nature or radio or just really anything that people would like insights of. I should have... something, I'm not quite sure at this point what. A little frazzled and getting back in the game, but we'll definitely have an episode next week. So anyhow, until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.